Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth, on this wonderful Wednesday. Hallelujah. Today, we're going to continue and finish talking about scriptural business strategies, a review of what we've talked about the past 2 days, and then part three, which you're going to love. If you own your own business, home-based or otherwise, if you work for someone else, there are certainly biblically based business principles for success that you need to know, fully understand, and utilize every day. If you can't see any scenario by which you need to know these principles, listen and learn, because you don't fully know the plans that God has for you, regardless of your age or what you're doing at the moment. Let's look at the first 9 scriptural business strategies we've discussed on the 2 previous calls.
And they are ones that you could look up on our website, haroldherring.com, within a few days, I think. Number 1, seek God's direction on how to handle your business. Number 2, these are just basics. God wants you running an honest business. Number 3, offer a quality product and service. Number 4, plan ahead. And number 5, treat everybody fairly. And we have all of these scripturally outlined and some little pointers that go with all of them if you look it back up. Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 15. Deuteronomy 25, starting in 13. In the Living Bible says, in all your transactions, you must use accurate scales and honest measurements so that you will have a long, good life in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Number,
go ahead.
Number 6, with God's help, you can take on even established businesses. We share 10 questions to help a person examine their business, where they want their business to be. If you'd like a copy of the 10, then send me an email to harold@haroldherring.com. Number 7, if you don't keep your word in business, you will suffer the consequences. Psalm 50, verse 14. 50:14. Contemporary English version. I am God Most High. The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and to keep your word. Number 8. Inspect what you expect to prevent defects. 1 Timothy 4:15. 1 Timothy 4:15. New Living Translation. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. Number 9, diligent business will bring you before great people. Proverbs 22:29, Classic Amplified. Do you see a man diligent and skillful in business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure money.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's look at the final 5 scriptural business strategies for success.
Number 10, money alone will not bring you happiness. Thoroughly enjoy your work, your effort, and your business. Some years ago, and you may have heard some of these, and I know we've said them on occasion, we came across an interesting group of thoughts that have to do with life. Says money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy a clock, but not time. Money can buy you a book, but not knowledge. Money can buy you medicine, but not health. Money can buy you sex, but not love. So you have to see that money isn't everything, and often it causes pain and suffering. But we can tell you this because
we're your friends.
That's it.
And as your friends, we want to take away
all your pain
and suffering.
Just like Jesus wants to.
So just send us all your money.
well, there you go.
And we'll suffer for you.
But the point is,
that joke's funny, but not necessarily accurate.
That's it. Money is a reward for your labor and for your work. This is the sad statistic. Is that there are over 70% of the people who draw a paycheck that really aren't happy in their job. That shouldn't be. Because Ecclesiastes 5:18 in the Amplified Bible says, "Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is for one to eat and drink and to find enjoyment in all the labor in which he labors under the sun, all the days which God gives him. And this is his allotted part." God wants us to enjoy and be happy in our work. Or we need to find something that gives us that sense of fulfillment that God would like us to have.
That's so true.
Sometimes it's an attitude of what we have that will help us find the fulfillment of what we have.
Yeah. Number 11, ask God to bring you the right kind of employees. Years ago, while I was working with my father and mother in the family restaurant in the Western Auto business, Dad asked me to hire a new employee. I said, "Yes, sir." And I will always remember what he said next. He said, "Son, let's try to find a good employee this time. We've already got enough sorry ones." I laughed and still laughed about it to this day.
Daddy loved to make jokes.
He did. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Acts 3. "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you of seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business."
We might say Daddy was a big joker, but we had a lot of great employees over the years that worked at that place.
Yeah, he
just funny.
We remember reading an article in Forbes magazine a few years back about the seven C's in hiring the right kind of employee. Number one, competent. Does the prospective employee have the skill set to get the job done? Number two, capable. Does the person have the potential to grow in effectiveness? Number three, compatible. Does he or she have the personality to get along with coworkers and customers? Number four, commitment. You sense a desire for a long-term working relationship. Number five, character. Does the person's value line up with yours? Number six, culture. Will they be able to act and react with the company's daily routines? And seven, compensation. Will the package make them feel appreciated? Will it cause them to view their job as just a stepping stone?
Number 12, value your longtime employees. Ecclesiastes 10:5 Message Bible says, "Here's a piece of bad business I've seen on this earth, an error that can be blamed on whoever is in charge. Immaturity is given the place of prominence, while maturity is made to take a back seat. I've seen unproven upstarts riding in style, while experienced veterans are put out to pasture." There, you see, unfortunately, a lot of that these days. Loyalty and excellence should always be recognized and honored. Sadly, some companies release long-term employees before they fully qualify for their benefit package so that they won't have to pay it. And that's just wrong.
Yes, it is.
Fidelity and relationships, whether marital, personal, or business, are very important to God. And it's important, however, to keep complacency out of the workplace. By creating the kind of environment where an employee continues to learn and never thinks that they have arrived. We've often said, and if you think you've arrived, chances are you haven't even left the station.
That's true.
Always, always, always something
always.
To learn.
13, good business owner teaches everything he knows. Job 15:15. John 15:15.
Think of it as a job, but it's just Job. No, I'm just kidding.
John 15:15. New International Version. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you." Mm. As we were reading the scripture, we were reminded of how some years ago, maybe 12, 15 years ago, we wrote an outline for a book that I had been released to write, entitled, "Are You Duplicating?" Duplicating.
Are you worth duplicating?
Are you worth duplicating? Thank you. To chapter headings, are you fun to be around? Attitude, aptitude, anticipation, altitude. Are you an example? I've always heard to be a success, you must have a successor. The only way that happens is if you do a proper job of training.
Number 14.
That's important.
Yes, it is. It's all important. There's so much to it. God will protect your business even in tough times. Recession, inflation, and economic hard times have been, well, they've been with mankind since the beginning of time. There are no new problems, truly. The biblical answers to these conditions first appear early in the book of Genesis. In Genesis 26, 1, it says, "And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham." So famine had always been around. Famine could be, well, we can use famine as any unanticipated disaster, a tragedy, hardship, or a reversal of fortune that suddenly dries up your personal resources. A famine could be just about anything like a death in the family, a devastating fire, a job loss, a major health crisis, anything that puts a sudden drain on your financial resources. What do you do when famine comes? God gave Isaac specific instructions to follow in order to prosper during those economic hard times. First, he stayed faithful to God's commands. Don't let circumstances ruin your good Christian habits. Oh, now I got to do something different. No. Many believers become inconsistent in times of economic pressure. I can't afford to tithe, or this or that or the other. Can't afford to give. Fluctuation from your Christian principles only further weakens your situation. The Lord blessed Isaac because of his obedience. And second, don't follow the world's philosophy. Because of the famine, everybody around him was leaving to go to Egypt. And the Lord had a different program for Isaac. In Genesis 26, 2 and 3, he said, "Go not down unto Egypt. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee." Love it when the Lord gives you a command.
That's it.
Move to a new city or state only upon God's command, not because of a rumor that there is more prosperity there. Remember that God can bless you in any location you are.
And he will.
Yes, he will. I always think of Joseph when he was on the slave block. And it said Joseph was a prosperous man. And you think,
right.
What was prosperous? Prosperous because God was with him. Deuteronomy 28:3 said, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed thou shalt be in the field." Too many people in the world either give up hope completely, or they fall into the someday syndrome. Someday things are going to get better. Someday I'm going to have money. Someday I'm going to get out of debt. Someday I'm going to start giving the way I really want to. But we have news for you. Someday is today.
That's right.
Right now, this moment.
Right now.
You know, not one day, but this is day one.
This is the day.
That's it. Third, so generously during the famine. Isaac went forth under the Lord's instructions, and according to Genesis 26:12, sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Blessed him just as much for obedience. A blessing of the Lord maketh rich. God intended for Isaac to conquer the famine and give him the prosperity principles to emerge victorious from it. These same biblical principles apply to us today.
Amen.
And we have to use them now in our own lives.
Absolutely.
As we conclude the teaching,
we want to quote again the Message Bible translation of Hebrews 12:2-3. We better get on with it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. And neither should you.
That's right.
Or neither should we.
Any of us.
Absolutely. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.